Good morning. If you'll open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to continue on with a series that I began a few weeks ago. We're looking at disciples, being disciples. We are disciples. We're not just part of a religious club, but we're followers and learners of Christ. And we talked about what that meant individually to us and the spiritual path that we follow to be a disciple of Christ. And then we started to look at disciples as a group, that we have a relationship to each other. It's not just each one of us individually being a follower of Christ, but we are together followers of Christ as Christ's church. And that we are one, that the Holy Spirit has made us one in Christ, and that we're to preserve that unity. And we saw that in Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6. And then in the last part of this section, in verses 11 to 16, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're told how the church grows. And I'd like to look at three aspects about how the church grows that I think is very important for us to remember. And because we are leaving, I'm thinking more and more in terms of, well, what do I want you to remember? What do I need to remember always? You know, sometimes we get bogged down with small thoughts and small ideas and small teachings, but the big picture sometimes is more necessary, isn't it? Three things that are involved in for the church to grow. I'm convinced, well, it's in the Bible, and therefore it must be true, right? There may be more, but there are at least these three things. The idea is that the disciples have to be attached. The disciples need to be equipped, and they need to be involved. All of those three are ingredients toward growth, and we're going to see that in our passage today, and in conjunction with what we looked at last time. We're to be attached to Christ. We're to be equipped through Christ's word and through people that God has given us to teach and lead. And we're to be involved in doing His will. Let me read verses 11 to 16, and then we'll look at each of those items. He gave us some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. What's the goal? Well, the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That we grow in love, that we grow as a body numerically, but also spiritually, as God designed us to grow. One thing we need to get clear, and I think we're getting it, I forget it sometimes, so I imagine we all do, but the church is an organism, not an organization. We think about, you know, people ask you what church you go to, and you will say, well, go to the Church of Christ, and they assume that we're part of a denomination like everybody else is a part of a denomination. But we're not a denomination, although sometimes we so think and so act as if we're part of a denomination. Well, what's a denomination? What do you think about a denomination is? Well, it's a group of people who have their own set of rules, right? They have their own headquarters, their own set of rules, their own leaders. They have a structure that holds everything together, and so you have yours and I have mine, and so we fight about what, you know, whose rules are better and which rules we get to keep and all of that kind of stuff. And you got this part wrong and you got that part wrong, and everybody fusses over everything about, you know, the different directions that the different leaders have tried to promulgate. And so you have denominations, different groups. There were seeds of that all the way in the beginning when we were talking about 1 Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1 to 4. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And Paul put the squash on that. He said, well, look, Paul didn't die for you, Jesus did. You weren't baptized into Paul, you were baptized into Christ. Who do you belong to? What did we study about last week? We have a unity that the Holy Spirit gave us, right? There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. God gave us that stuff. God's Spirit unites us because we have that stuff. We are not a denomination, we are a fellowship of faith. We have the same faith. We have the same baptism. We have the same hope. We have the same Lord. We have the same God. We have the same direction and we have the same loyalty. It really doesn't have to do with our names are on a list of phone numbers and addresses, or whether they registered or not. It has to do with, who do we belong to? We have one Lord. What is our religion about? What is religion about? There are a couple of different things that sort of irk me and grieve me. Now, you wouldn't have experienced this, but you may have done it earlier on, and I may have done it earlier on before I became a Christian. You know, you go and you meet a pastor or a priest or something, and you tell them, you know, put in a good word to the big guy for me. What's the concept of religion there? The concept of religion is that we need special people as go-betweens between us and God, and these special people take care of our religious life, and they keep God off our backs. They do the talking for us. They do the worship stuff for us. And you know, we put our money in the collection plate once in a while, and we gather together once in a while, but their job is just to keep God at bay so that I don't get in trouble. It's sort of like I've got it's like I hire H&R Block to keep the IRS at bay, you know? It's that sort of thing. But that isn't what's being described in the Bible as the church. That isn't what's described in the Bible as being the leadership of the church. Who is the head of the church? Jesus. What's eternal life? Is it getting the set of rules right? Well, we've all failed, so I hope not. It's having forgiveness. It's having a new relationship to God through Christ. John chapter 17, verse 2, Jesus is praying. And one of the comments he makes in his prayer, he said, this is eternal life, to know the Father and the Son whom He sent. What we're about is knowing God. Not to keep Him at bay. God wants a fellowship with us. As Christians, He sends the Spirit to dwell in us, and He wants an ongoing relationship with us. This is not a God that we need to keep at bay so we get some holy people to stand in between us. This is a God who wants us as His children. This is a God who wants to unite us in His Spirit through His Son. And that's what we share in Christ. We have all of those ones that we mentioned last week. We have fellowship in Christ. We are a fellowship of faith. We are a fellowship of hope. We are a fellowship in Christ. We've all been baptized into Him. We've been baptized into one body. And how can the church grow unless we understand that we're attached to Christ? The church cannot grow unless we understand our attachment to Christ. It's not because we got the rules right. Will we get the rules right? Yes, that's part of the goal. That's what Jesus wants. We love Jesus. We want to do what He says, right? But the goal isn't just to get the rules right. The goal is to get our relationship with God right. And in getting that relationship with God right, then we start to fix up the rules. We start to understand them better. We understand why and the priority of them. And it fits in place. But without that attachment to Christ, we don't have anything. Now, I'll talk about that more next week, because that is the most important thing I want to leave everybody with. But our attachment to Christ is the primary thing. Somewhere in John chapter 15, Jesus talks about Himself being the vine and us being the branches. He wants us to bear fruit. How do we bear fruit? We bear fruit by abiding in Him. I won't read the whole passage. I just want to remind you of it. I've preached on it many times. But how do we bear fruit? We bear fruit because we're attached to Christ. We draw from His life and He produces fruit in us. I'll read a little bit. Verse 4, "Abide in Me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing." So what does that mean? Well, as a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, it means everything. Our attachment to Christ means everything. We're attached to each other because we're attached to Christ. Not because we share our worship in a building together, not because we share a preacher or elders, not because we have friendships here, but it's because we're attached to Christ, first and foremost. And without that attachment to Christ, our growth isn't going to happen. Personal growth, interpersonal growth, and numerical growth, it isn't going to happen. Apart from Him, nothing's going to happen. Now, what happens? Back to Ephesians 4. There was a picture of Jesus going up to heaven in this, being proclaimed a victor, victor over death, and as a general. Like a victory parade. And in this victory parade, he was distributing gifts, just like a Caesar or a Roman general would, marching into the city. And he'd distribute gifts to the people. And well, here's a picture of Jesus distributing gifts to the church. And he describes these gifts in verse 11. He said he gave some as apostles. Now this could be he gave some apostles. In other words, the apostles were a gift to the church. That was part of the gift that he was distributing. Or it could be he gave some to be apostles, but the net effect is the same, okay? So he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. And notice, these are gifts that Jesus gave to His church. He gave to His disciples. And the purpose of it was for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. And this leads to the second point. We grow by our attachment to Christ, but it's not just the attachment to Christ. We need to be equipped. And how are we equipped? Well, there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. And how they do that job? Well, the apostles and prophets initially distributed and introduced God's will and God's word to mankind. They introduced the gospel and the meaning of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to mankind. They distributed the instructions of the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The people mentioned here, the gifts mentioned in Ephesians, all of the people who are part of that were designed to have those gifts to equip all of the disciples. And primarily, the equipping came through God's word, either the initial delivery of it through the apostles and prophets, or the continued delivery of it once it had been initially delivered through the evangelists and the pastor teachers. The evangelists would bring the good news. The evangelists would publicly proclaim God's word. They would take the word as it was delivered and proclaim it broadly to people who had not heard God's word. They would proclaim it personally in small groups, one-on-one, but they would be proclaimers of God's word. This is where we get the word preacher, a herald. A pastor is a shepherd. A shepherd is one who tends the flock. He's one who takes God's word and helps people apply it to their lives. Helps them to... gives them the dummy slap when they need the dummy slap, and gives them the reminders when they need the reminders. Reprove and rebuke, correct and train. It all involves the application of God's word, the teaching of God's word. And what is the end to all of this? It's for us to be equipped. These aren't folks that were meant just to be go-betweens between God and man. Okay, we got the holy man praying for us, so I'm okay. That doesn't work that way, right? I think most of us know that. But it's good to remember. It's not like there's any one of us here who's closer to God than anyone else. The elders and the preachers are equippers who help us all apply God's word, learn God's word. You can be all enthusiastic about God, but if you don't understand what He has to say and what direction He wants to go, is that going to be very useful? I mean, there are all kinds of strange directions that people can go if they're enthusiastic about God, but they have no knowledge about God, don't you think? This is one of the reasons we have so many different religious groups all over the place. Because people haven't been grounded in what God had to say. And right here, notice, this is to happen until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Again, the goal is our personal growth into Christ's likeness. Also, verse 14, also the goal is we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and craftiness and deceitful scheming. Being equipped involves growing in God's word and knowing God's direction better and better, and being able to apply it and walk in it and not be scattered by all sorts of different pulls here, there, and everywhere. Not scattered by the pull of the world, not scattered by the pull of false teaching, but understand what the kernel of our life is all about and the direction, the marching directions that Jesus has given us. We need to be equipped. When we are zealous for God, we need God's direction so we can direct that zeal and use it and be productive in it and productive in our lives. And then finally, in order to grow, we need to be involved. I'd like to you to notice here, in particular, verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. There's a process here that goes on where the body grows in love, it grows spiritually, it grows numerically, we grow the way God intends us to grow. How? Well, we're connected to Christ. Christ is our head, and we're all connected to Christ as members of His body. So we grow because we're attached. We grow because we're equipped, because we have a direction. We know the kind of things that Jesus wants us to be doing. We know the kind and how He wants us to do it, and how He wants us to relate, and how He wants us to reach out to other people and to each other. We know we have a general direction on how we need to fit into this world. And so each one of us is a member. Each one of us is connected to each other, and every joint is connected to each other, and it's according to the proper working of each individual part that causes the growth of the body. It's as each one of us is doing what God wants us to do, as each one of us functions as God designed us to function, that Christ's body will grow. There is no magic bullet. There is no magic preacher. There is no magic elder. The magic is in letting God do His work in us, and us doing His work in our lives. That's what the magic is. There is no we got to get somebody to get the church growing. Getting the church growing is us. Getting Christ's church growing is us. It means that each one of us, as we individually share the gospel, as each one of us individually show Christ's love in our families and among our friends and in the world in general, as each one of us contributes of our means, as each one of us contributes of our energy and strength, it's proportional. It's proportional. This is the according to means it's proportional, in proportion to the proper working of each individual part. And that's God's plan for growth. It's us. It's all of us. That we need to be attached to Christ first and foremost. That we need to be equipped by Him and His Word. And we need to be involved in acting out that word and doing the good works that God designed us to do. And when we do that, we'll be growing as fast as we possibly can. I don't know how fast as possibly we can is, but that's how we do it. But that is how we do it, and that's the only way we can do it. We can't rely on a person or a group of people, but it's us as Christ's people in order to do this. And doing this means we know that we're one and we're part of that one body. And most of all, that Jesus is our head. If you have any requests, if you want to put the Lord on in baptism, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.